Have you ever played a game of whack-a-mole? If you have, do you ever feel like your business is one giant game of whack-a-mole? You know, every time you cross something off your list, three new urgent tasks pop up. Client emails, team pings, overdue invoices, and projects that never seem to move forward. If you've ever ended the day completely exhausted and wondering what you actually accomplished, then this episode is for you. I'm going to break down how to prioritize when everything feels urgent. I'll show you a simple relief method, give you real-life examples of how to apply it, and share how small shifts in your day can create huge relief and lasting focus. Let's dive in. Are you that driven entrepreneur who believes that working harder holds the key to your dreams? Are you drowning in the day-to-day tasks, wishing you had more time to strategize and cast the vision for your business growth? Hi, I'm Donna Dubay, your guide on this entrepreneurial journey. I've walked in your worn-out shoes, burning the midnight oil, convinced that sheer hard work was the secret to success. Just one more email, one more task, until I found myself on a one-way track to burnout. But here's the twist in the tale. I discovered that success isn't just about working harder, it's about working smarter. It's about being intentional with our time. It's about steering our ship with focus, because no team, system, or automation can outperform a lack of direction. In this podcast, I'm sharing with you all the strategies for business growth that it took me years to learn. If you're ready to step out of the daily overwhelm so you can amplify your profits, then I'm ready to teach you. I believe the only limit to your business growth is the one you set for yourself. Go grab a notebook, warm up that cup of tea, and let's do this. Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. I'm Donna Dubay, Fractural Director of Operations and Business Growth Strategist, here to help you work less and profit more without burning out. And I know today's topic is going to hit close to home, because when you're running a business, it feels like everything is urgent, right? Every notification feels like it needs your immediate attention. Your brain is in constant go, go, go mode. And quite frankly, it's exhausting. But here's the thing, not everything that feels urgent actually is. And once you know how to separate the noise from what truly matters, you're going to step out of survival mode and into CEO mode. So let's start by painting the picture, because I know some of you are living this. You sit down at your desk, nice cup of coffee or tea, determined to finally tackle that big project that's been hanging over your head. Maybe it's outlining your new course or finishing up the proposal for a new client. But before you can even open your notes, your inbox lights up. A client has marked their email urgent. So what do? You dive in, you answer it quickly, and just when you're about ready to get back into that project, your Slack pings. Oh, a team member has a question. Well, it's just a quick answer, so you'll answer that. But while you're in Slack, you remember a message you forgot to respond to yesterday, so you handle that too. And then you take a glance at your Asana board and, oh, you realize that an invoice is overdue. And on it goes. Before you know it, it's 4 p.m., your coffee's stone cold, and that big project that you got up and swore you were going to focus on today, well, that's still untouched. How many of you have been in that, have days like that? I know many of you have. I just can't see you right now, but I know you have. So there's a bigger cost of this way of working. When you live in reaction mode, you end every day busy, but unsatisfied. You worked hard, but you didn't actually move your business forward. That course outline that could grow your revenue, it's still not done. That systems update that could save you hours every week, yeah, that's still sitting on the back burner. And the longer you live in this cycle, the more your team learns that the fastest way to get something done is to actually interrupt you. Your clients start to expect instant responses because that's what you've trained them to expect. And the end result is you're working longer hours, juggling more stress, and still not reaching the growth you want. Now, I want to take a pause here for a second because I want you to understand why urgency feels so overwhelming in the first place. This isn't about you being disorganized or bad at prioritizing. It's literally how your brain is wired. So here's what's happening. First up, dopamine. Every time you answer a quick email, tick a box on your to-do list, or respond to a notification, your brain gives you a little hit of dopamine. It's the same feel-good chemical you get from eating chocolate or scrolling TikTok. It's like fast food for your brain. It's quick, it's salty, it's satisfying in the moment, but it's not very nourishing. And your brain loves that hit. It trains you to keep chasing small, quick wins. But the problem is, those tiny tasks rarely move your business forward. So you end up busy all day, but stuck in the cycle of chasing dopamine instead of building momentum. So I want you to think about yesterday. How many times did you answer an email or a message just because it was quick and gave you that little sense of relief? That, my friends, that's dopamine at work. Second thing that happens is your survival wiring. So neuroscientists like Daniel Kahneman, for example, who literally won a Nobel Prize for his work on decision making, explains that our brains have a fast reactive mode and a slower, more thoughtful mode. Anything that feels urgent, like a Slack pin, an email marked urgent, even your phone buzzing on the desks, lights up that fast, reactive part of your brain. It's the same wiring that used to keep our ancestors alive when there was really a tiger outside the cave, right? Your body pumps out cortisol and adrenaline, prepping for you to fight or flee. That's why you feel like you have to answer immediately, even when it's just a client asking for a password reset. So let me ask you, when was the last time your heart rate spiked just from seeing urgent in an email subject line? That's not a client crisis. That's your survival brain kicking in. And third is completion bias. Harvard researchers have found that humans crave closure. We get a little psychological reward every time we complete a task, no matter how small. That's why answering a 2-minute message feels so satisfying, while that big strategic project feels heavy and hard to start. Your brain hates unfinished tasks, so it nags you until you deal with them. Think of it like folding one towel in your laundry versus reorganizing your entire laundry room. Of course, your brain would rather go for the easy win, so you fold that one towel, leaving the mess in the laundry room. So I want you to ask yourself, are you folding towels all day instead of tackling the laundry room that actually needs your attention? And here's something that really surprised me. Gloria Mark, who studied digital distraction for decades now, found that once you get interrupted, it takes an average of 23 minutes and 15 seconds. 23 minutes, friends, that's almost half an hour, to fully get back into focus. So even if that Slack question only took you 2 minutes to answer, the real cost is nearly half an hour of lost deep work. So when you put this all together, the dopamine hit, the survival wiring, the craving for closure, and the cost of switching, it makes total sense that urgency feels so powerful. Your brain isn't broken. It's just doing what it was designed to do. But I want to tell you that what kept you safe in the wild years ago isn't what's going to grow your business. And that's why we need a better way. A way to interrupt that cycle and retrain your brain to focus on what's really important, not just what feels urgent. So that's where the framework I'm about to walk you through comes in. The relief method, I call it, pause, prioritize, and protect. So now that you understand why urgency hijacks your brain, let's spend some time talking about how to interrupt that cycle. I call this the relief method, and it's three simple steps. Pause, prioritize, and protect. So step one, pause. Before you react, I want you to stop. Remember, your default brain wiring wants to jump in the second something dings. But even a 60-second pause is enough to calm the adrenaline spike and let your slower, more thoughtful brain come alive. So think of it like the yellow light at an intersection when you're driving. If you slam on the gas, you're making a split-second decision that could cause a big accident. But if you pause at the light, you give yourself space to decide, do I stop or safely move through? And that pause prevents chaos. So, the next time your phone buzzes or your Slack pings, I want you to try this. Instead of answering right away, I want you to take a slow breath. Jot the task down on paper. Notice how just writing it down creates space instead of urgency. Okay, step two is to prioritize. So once you've hit the pause, now it's time to get selective. And this is where most small business owners struggle the most, because everything feels important. But remember, feelings aren't facts. Okay, we got to be objective here. Here are three questions to cut through the noise. Does this task move me closer to my business goals? Does this have to be done by me? And what's the real consequence if it waits? This is your brain filter, right? This separates the laundry room from the single towel. And neuroscience backs this up. Your prefrontal cortex, the decision-making center of your brain, literally lights up when you slow down and weigh the options. Because you're shifting out of reactive fast mode into more intentional CEO brain mode. So I want you to think about the task that's screaming for your attention right now. If you ask those three questions honestly, does it deserve to be first on your list? Or is it just being loud? Okay, step number three is to protect. So now, once you know what matters, you have to guard it. And this is where a lot of us slip. We know our priorities, but we let everyone else's urgency bulldoze them away. So protecting is about building walls around your focus. That could mean blocking calendar time for deep work. That could mean putting your phone in another room. That could mean telling your team, I'll answer Slack at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., not all day long. That could mean using scripts with clients like, I'll review this and get back to you by tomorrow afternoon. I want you to think of it like protecting the front porch of your house. If you don't set boundaries, everyone will wander up, come right in, and interrupt your dinner. But once you put up a fence and a little sign that says, deliveries at the gate, then people understand. You're still welcoming them, but on your own terms. And research actually shows that consistent boundaries reduce stresses, boost productivity, not only for you, but for your team. When you're clear, they feel safe to be clear as well. So I want you to ask yourself, what's one boundary you could put in place this week that would protect your focus, even if it's just for 1 hour? Okay, so that's the relief method. Pause, prioritize, protect. Pretty simple, right? But incredibly powerful when you practice it daily. Because instead of letting urgency run your day, you're choosing to run it on your terms. So now I want to make this a little bit real for you. I want to walk you through three scenarios that most business owners face on a weekly basis, maybe even daily. And I'm going to show you what happens in reactive operator mode versus what happens when you follow the relief method and put on your CEO brain. Okay, so scenario one, we've got reactive operator mode. So you open your inbox, you see an email with urgent in all caps. A client can't find a file. Without thinking, your brain flips into survival mode. The cortisol spikes, your adrenaline flows, and you drop everything to dig through folders and send them the link so they have it. Sure, it only took 15 minutes, but what really happened? You lost close to 2 hours of deep work because remember, it takes an average of 23 minutes to recover focus after even a small interruption. Now let's flip that and let's see what that would look like using the relief method framework that I've been talking about. So you get this email, it's got urgent in all caps. You pause, you take a breath, and you notice that spike of panic in your chest. You remind yourself, this isn't a tiger, this is just an email. You prioritize by asking, does this move me closer to my goals? No. Does it have to be me? No. What's the real consequence if it waits? Pretty minimal. You protect your time with a micro boundary. The file is in our shared drive under folder X. If you can't locate it, let me know and we'll support you by tomorrow morning. Do you see the difference here? The client got a response. They had to take action to go and find it. And if they can't find it, by tomorrow morning, you or someone on your team will help them out. So I want you to think back to the last urgent client request you handled immediately. Did it actually need to be solved right away? Or did your brain just convince you that it did? You see, the CEO benefit here of using the pause, prioritize, and protect is that you stay on track with strategic work. Your client learns to self-serve first, and you break the cycle of training people to treat every small ask as an emergency. All right, I've got another one. The team ping pong, I like to call it. So you're finally getting traction on outlining your launch strategy when Slack pings. The message says, hey, how should I handle this refund? In reactive mode, your fast brain lights up. They need me now. You stop mid-thought, you answer quickly, and tell yourself, oh, it only took 2 minutes. But in reality, you lost your train of thought and 20 minutes of productivity. And your team also learned that the fastest way to get an answer is to interrupt you. So they keep doing it. Now let's flip that and use the relief method. So you're deep in outlining your launch strategy and Slack pings. You pause. Instead of reacting, you jot down refund request so you don't lose your train of thought. Next, you prioritize. Is this urgent? No. It's a standard process. Does it have to be me? Nope. There's already a refund SOP. You protect your focus by sending a clear boundary. Follow the refund SOP. Only loop me in if it's outside of policy. How often do you become the bottleneck in your business by answering quick team questions? And what would happen if you empowered them with a process instead? You see, the CEO benefit here is that you stop being the bottleneck, your team gains confidence in decision making, and you protect your mental space for projects that only you can drive. All right, one more scenario. Let me know which one hit home for you. So you open your calendar and it's wall-to-wall Zoom meetings. By 3 p.m., you're drained. Your project deadline is still untouched. And you're telling yourself, it's okay, I'll just work late tonight. This is the completion bias in action. Your brain convinces you that attending every meeting counts as progress, even though your most important work gets pushed aside. So with the pause, prioritize, and protect framework, you pause and zoom out. You ask, does this calendar reflect my goals or just everyone else's priorities? You prioritize what moves the needle, another networking call or finishing the proposal that will bring in revenue. You protect by blocking CEO time first, then scheduling calls around it. It's like putting the big rocks in the jar before you add the sand. So if I looked at your calendar right now, would I see your number one business priority blocked off? Or is it squeezed into the margins around everyone else's requests? The CEO benefit here is instead of constantly working nights and weekends, you finish the high-value projects during the day. You can reclaim your evenings guilt-free and model intentional time management for your team. All right, I hope those examples kind of locked in and you can see where I'm going with this. When you start using pause, prioritize, and protect in everyday situations like these, you'll notice something. Your team and your clients will start to shift too. The fires that don't come as often because you're not fueling them with instant responses. You're leading with clarity, not panic. And that calm starts to ripple out through your whole business. So here is where I find a lot of business owners get tripped up. You hear the word boundaries and immediately think big, scary ultimatums. Things like telling a client, no more calls outside of business hours, or telling your team, figure it out on your own. And I know that feels harsh, and so you don't want to set them at all. But the truth is, most boundaries don't need to be dramatic. They can be micro boundaries, tiny intentional choices about how and when you respond. These small shifts add up to massive release over time. So why micro works? Our brains love clarity. And the neuroscience shows that uncertainty creates stress. People literally get more anxious when they don't know what to expect. By setting micro boundaries, you remove uncertainty for yourself, your clients, and your team. And everyone relaxes because they know the rules of the game. All right, this is an analogy that's just come to me, so go with me here. Think of it like putting lane markers on a highway, right? To delineate whose lane is which. Without them, we'd start weaving all over the road, right? Cutting people off, a lot of honking. I mean, it'd just be chaos. But with clear lines, everyone flows smoother, even when the road is busy. Think about micro boundaries as those lane markers for your business. So let me give you some examples. With clients, instead of replying instantly, you might send a reply that says, thanks for sending this over. I'll review it and get back to you by tomorrow afternoon. And what that tells your client is that I'm reliable, but I'm not on call. With your team, instead of answering every ping, you might say, check the SOP first. If it doesn't cover this, then bring it to me. And what this tells your team is, I trust you. You don't need me for every little thing. And with yourself, instead of stacking calls all day, set a no meetings before 10 a.m., That's my CEO focus block. And what that tells you is I take my priorities seriously enough to protect them. Do you see from these examples here, these aren't ultimatums. They're gentle signals that keep everyone in their lane. And over time, they start to create a culture where people respect your time because you respect your time. Psychologists call this boundary contagion. When leaders set healthy boundaries, teams unconsciously copy them. If you're online at midnight, your team member learns that's expected. If you calmly say, "I'll reply tomorrow," your team learns that's safe too. So studies on attention residue show that even a quick look at email or Slack leaves part of your brain stuck on that unfinished task, lowering your focus for your next activity. Micro boundaries, like scheduled email checks or scheduled Slack checks, stop attention residue from stealing your focus all day long. So, think about your last client urgent email. Did you set a boundary on your response time, or did you let their timeline override yours? Look at your calendar. Is there 1 hour this week that's fully protected for deep work? If not, what micro boundary could you put in place to carve that out? And when your team asks questions, do you empower them with guidelines or train them to come to you first? You see, there's a CEO benefit versus like a reactive trap, right? You answer everyone instantly. You feel helpful in the moment, but over time, you become the bottleneck. Your team starts to stall without you, right? And your clients expect 24/7 access. But when you shift that, when you respond with intention, not immediate, your team gains confidence, your clients trust your process, and you protect the mental bandwidth that you need to grow your business. Micro boundaries aren't shutting people out. They're about setting up guardrails that let everyone, including you, move faster with less chaos. If you're always in panic mode, jumping at every notification, your team will learn to do the same thing. They'll bring you panic because that's what you model. If you answer emails at midnight, guess what? Your team assumes they should be online at midnight too. Culture isn't just what you say, it's what you consistently do. And psychologists call this social modeling. Humans are wired to mirror the behaviors of their leaders and our peers, especially in high-pressure environments. So people unconsciously catch, if you will, the emotional states of the leaders. So if you're frazzled and reactive and always urgent, your team feels that energy. But if you're calm, intentional, and focused, they can mirror that instead. So this belief that it's safe to slow down, to ask questions, and to make thoughtful decisions. When we lead that way, we create the environment, and teams can innovate more and stress less. Psychological safety disappears when leaders are constantly in emergency mode. I think of a toddler who takes a tumble, right? They fall over. If the parent gasps and panics and runs over to the toddler, what happens? The toddler bursts into tears. But if the parent stays calm, smiles, and says, "You're fine, up you get," the toddler usually brushes it off and keeps going. And your team is no different. If you treat every client email or Slack ping like a 5-alarm fire, then they learn to panic too. But if you respond calmly and intentionally, then they'll start problem solving before running to you. Get what I'm saying here? Your reaction sets the tone. All right, so here's what I want you to take away today. Not everything that feels urgent actually is. Your brain might be wired to chase pings, dings, and quick wins, but you don't have to keep living in that cycle. When you pause, you interrupt the panic. When you prioritize, you choose what actually moves the needle. And when you protect, you create the space to do your most important work. The difference is huge. Stay in reaction mode and you'll end every day exhausted and wondering what you really accomplished. Step into proactive CEO mode and you'll end your day knowing that you made progress on the work that truly matters, the kind that grows your business and gives you your time back. And if you're ready for a simple way to put this into practice each week, I've created something to help. The CEO Power Hour Playbook. It's a free resource that shows you exactly how to carve out that one powerful hour every week to focus on the high-value tasks that actually move your business forward, instead of spinning in everyone else's urgency. So I'll put the link in the show notes. You can grab it at ceoamplify.ca/powerhour. Because at the end of the day, urgency isn't leadership. Clarity is. And the more you lead with clarity, the calmer and more profitable your business becomes. All right. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to see you next week. Thank you for joining me on this episode of CEO Amplify. I appreciate you being part of our thriving community of ambitious business owners. If you enjoy today's episode, I kindly ask you to share this podcast with a friend and take a hot minute to rate and leave a review. It would mean the world to me. Your feedback helps me reach more people and continue providing valuable content. Thanks so much for your support. Keep shining, and we'll catch you on the next episode.